We'll be in Hosea. Turn there to chapter 13. Stand with me. We'll get into this. Hosea 13. Exalted himself in Israel. By the way, when you see that, he spake trembling, he exalted. This is a good thing. But look what happened. But when he offended or went away from, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. In other words, it'll dissipate, it'll come to nothing, it'll leave you with nothing, it gives you nothing, it offers you nothing, and it'll leave you with nothing. That's what the world will do.
Right.
And that's what God is saying.
Yep.
Now our text, verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I love that verse. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. That's a great verse too. In the times of wilderness, in the times of drought, God knows us. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled. And their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion, and as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. Stalking them in that sense. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. For in me is thine help. The title this evening is You Cannot Fool God. You cannot fool God. We live like we think we can, but we cannot. So let's pray and we'll let God work through this message. Father, we pray for your help. We need you. So I pray for your guiding touch, Lord. I pray that you'd work, first of all, work in my heart. And help me to be used as an empty vessel for you. I pray that you'd work in my heart while this message is delivered. And help me to see even better where you want me to be. Lord, I pray for our church family that you would work in our hearts. That we would see and hear from you tonight. I pray that you'd be exalted. I pray you'd be honored. I pray that you'd be clear in your message to the hearts of your people tonight. And then help us to respond according to your touch and obedience. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So we took the Jets to Freddy's last Wednesday night. It's like one of our go-tos, Freddy's. Love it. I mean, almost anything they have there, I mean, it's just a go-to. Yeah. The Lord's already working in our presence. So we're there, and the Jets are with us, and we're having a great time. They're telling stories, and we're laughing, and it's just a real great time. We decide that in this process that we need to get a picture all together. And so we decide maybe the best way to do this is to do a selfie. And Miss Jet got her phone out, and she got it all ready, and she looked over at Andrew and said, now, do you know how to take pictures on the phone? A teenage kid asking, do you know how to take pictures? We all laughed at that. Then we recruited one of the workers, Marigold, who actually attended church here a few times, and she's going to take our picture for us. So she's over on the end, and we're all getting ready to take this picture. We're all posing, and the picture, I mean, everything is just about to take place, and then suddenly in the background, standing behind Brother Jet was Ethan, and he sneezed right on the back of Brother Jet's head, and it just sprayed all over the back of his head, and just gave him a shower. And of course, after a young person sneezes, then they cover their mouth. And like, oh, I sneeze and then I cover. And Brother Jet had to get his hanky out and he had to kind of wipe off his head. It was wonderful. I thought of that when I was thinking about the life that we can live. Sometimes thinking that God doesn't know or really nobody knows except us, that there is going to be a day when it's going to sneak up. It's lurking behind the scenes. It's there. It's about to happen, but we, you know, it's unbeknownst. It's lurking, and it will come out, and it will make its presence known. What's behind the scenes, God will reveal in the open. And Israel needed to hear that. We need to hear that. We need to be reminded, because there are times when God wants to work in our life, but His work in us is hindered because of the things that we have in our heart. The things that we secretly allow to continue and go on in our heart. Those things need to be dealt with. Those things need to be brought up. Those things need to be brought to the front so they can be repented of and dealt with. And then God can work in us. He wants to work in our life. He wants to use us. He wants to put His hand on us of blessings. But His hand of blessings on our life is hindered because of the things that are in us, lurking behind the scenes. And we live as though they're not there, but they're there, and they're hindering what God wants to do in our life. It's true for us. It was true for Israel. God wanted to bless them, but they had become more and more attached to the sin that they had rejected God to embrace, the foreign alliances, the worship of Baal, and all of the pagan idolatrous actions that was involved with that commitment to Baal. Thinking they could have both, thinking they could have a worship of God and a worship of Baal, and sort of blind themselves to what they had attached themselves to. God wanted to put His hand on them, but because of what they had allowed in their heart and what they had tried to cover up in their soul, God would reveal it. It would come back. And it wouldn't just come back and become a nuisance. It would come back and have a destructive effect on them. And that's what God wants them to see. And by the way, this can be a help to us tonight. There might be some things, and likely are some things in our life that we're really battling with. And we're here tonight to show, really, as an outward, not just show, but an outward demonstration or display of what we want God to do in our life. We're here because we want to hear from God. We're here because we want God to work in our life and we want to live for Him. But there's things that are behind the scenes, and we're trying to forget about it or cover it up or act like it's not there. And God says it's lurking, it's going to come up, and it's hindering what I can do in your life. Israel had that, we have that. And it needs to be revealed. And by the way, if God can reveal it in our life before it comes up and sprays itself on us and becomes a destructive effect in our life, then we should be thankful that God would reveal it. Saying, you know, I don't like coming on Wednesdays because we're in Hosea and it seems like we're always on this negative thing. But if we can deal with these issues in this context, then they won't spring up and become as destructive as they could be out there. So let God work in you tonight that way. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." So what God's saying here is He's going back in time in history to remind Israel of what He had done for them. He said, "I delivered you when you were in Egypt. I delivered you." Did you forget that? Did you forget that I'm the one that brought you out of that bondage? Remember those days? I mean, there were times when they were in the wilderness and they wished for the bondage, but if they were back in that bondage, they wouldn't wish for it then. Just teetering and ping-ponging back and forth in their soul. By the way, that's how our flesh can be. When we're in the flesh, we're never going to be satisfied. You know, it's amazing. When you're in the flesh, as good as it can be, you'll never be satisfied. But when you're in the spirit, as bad as it can be, you're satisfied. And Israel, they were forgetting God. They were forgetting the mercy of God in delivering from Egypt. He brought them out. He was their God, and there was no other Savior but Him. He was the deliverer. They had forgotten that. Remember the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? It's an allusion to the first commandment. They had forgotten that. Then in verse number 5, it says, "I did know thee in the wilderness." What's he saying there? In the land of great drought. He's saying, I took you through the season of difficulty. I mean, I took you through it. I was with you every step of the way. I was bringing you through this. By the way, when you're going through it, it's not always easy to see the hand of God. But when you get to the other side and you look back, you can see the mercy of God as He was taking you through it. And God says, I took you through the wilderness. I was with you every step of the way. And you're forgetting that. You're letting these things into your heart. And you're acting like they're not there. And all the time, living with this other sort of God or other sort of, you know, affiliation or attachment in your life. And you've forgotten my mercy. You've forgotten I delivered you. If it wasn't for me, you would be bound for hell. And I saved you. He's speaking of deliverance. He's speaking of taking them through the wilderness. He says in verse 6, according to their pasture, so they were filled. He said they were filled. He filled them. He gave them everything they needed. But then their heart was exalted. Verse 6. Therefore they have forgotten me. And all of God's mercy in them, and all of God's blessings, and all that He had done, they became comfortable. They were not thankful. They were not reflecting on God's goodness. And they became exalted. And I wondered about this. Is this saying that they exalted themselves to think that they had done this for themselves? That, you know, they were delivered? And that deliverance was because of something that they had done in their own strength? I mean, there could be a level of that. But in the end, God plainly told us why they had exalted themselves is because they forgot God.
Right.
They forgot Him. Yep. They forgot His mercy. They forgot His blessings. They forgot His work. That He had a work He was doing in them. And so because they had forgotten Him, there would be a judgment that would come on them. By the way, to forget God's mercy, it would have to be a willful kind of blindness. I mean, there was no question God brought them out of Egypt. There was no question that God was dropping manna from heaven and feeding them for those years in the wilderness. There was no question that it was God that was working in them to preserve them and to fill them and to satisfy them and to take care of them. And so that they forgot God, it wasn't just that they, you know, happened to forget. Like we forget where we left the keys, you know. No, they forgot and it was purposeful. They chose not to remember. Right. Why? Because something else had their affection. Something else had taken their heart.
Right.
This, in my sermon notes, is not where I'm supposed to pause, but I think I will. What happened to Israel is something else got attached. They gave their heart to something else. And that was willful. They forgot, watch, they forgot God, but it wasn't accidental. They forgot God because something else got their heart.
Yeah, right.
And so it was a willful choice to forget God. Why? Because something else had their heart. We need this because this happens to us.
That's right.
We need this because this is how the devil works in us to pull us away from God. I mean, he puts things in our sight that's attractive. Why does he do that? I mean, why is this temptation here? The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. There will be temptation, and there are times when those temptations are from the evil one. And that temptation is designed to allure us away, to draw us away of our own lust, to entice us, to pull us like Israel was pulled. Why? Because what you give your heart to is what your affection will be given to. Like where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And when your heart is given to something, it has all of you. And Israel had given their heart to these things that they were attracted to. And their affiliations now were with this new thing. And they forgot God on purpose because their heart was given to something else. We do this. This is in our life whenever other things begin to steal our attention away from God. And now our attention is given to that and our heart isn't where it needs to be. And here's the warning. God wants Israel to see this. And by the way, he wants you and I to see this. He doesn't want us to experience the kind of judgment Israel is being warned about. And can I tell you that what's true for Israel will be true for you and me? I'm like, well, you know, Pastor, you know, that's Israel. And we get frustrated when we read about Israel too, because it seems so ignorant, and it seems so, and not just ignorant, but, you know, idiotic, the choices that they've made. And to see God's mercy and his blessing and deliverance, and then to willfully and as quickly as they did run away and worship other gods, this seems idiotic to us. It doesn't even seem real. It seems like we're reading a story that's a fable. That's how unreal this feels when we think about Israel. But yet it's true for you and me. And how quickly we go away from God. And that's from up here to all of us that's in here. And if you think it's not you, then you have deceived yourself. And you are in the vein of judgment, just like Israel is being warned of. You can get it right. And thank God for this message tonight. That's you and me. We can get it right. We don't have to stay in that path. This is a warning from God to us. But we need to understand how vulnerable our heart is. And when those attractive things come and stand before us to allure us and to draw us away, maybe not yet in deed, but in heart. Because when your heart is given to something, the actions are just right around the corner, aren't they? Yes. And so what the Bible says, as a man thinketh, you know the scripture, right? Psalm 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his what?
Heart.
Isn't it amazing how God connects thinking with the heart? Because God knows, the devil knows this too, that if you think about it, so is he. Eventually you're going to do it. The devil won't try to get you to do something. He'll just try to get you to think about it. Because if he can get you thinking about it, he can get your heart. And then he'll get you to act on it. I wish it wasn't true for me. Don't you wish that for you? That it wasn't true? Don't you wish you were strong enough? That every time temptation came your way, you were just strong enough? But we're not. And we become vulnerable. And the temptation is there, and we allow it into our mind. And then we think, and we don't cast down imaginations. We let it linger. And then it begins to get our heart. Israel did that. And here's the warning, and it's a graphic warning. What we're about to read is graphic. There's no real, like, G rating to this that we could do. It's just graphic. And I think the picture is painted graphically because we need to see it graphically. Look at verse 7. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. You know what God's saying? Like a lion lurks. Like a lion tracks. Whenever a lion is lurking and he's low and he's tracking, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's hunting. He's hunting for the prey. And we know the devil is as a lion, but God is as a lion. Not to protect, but as a hunter who is seeking to find his prey. And so now, because our heart has been given and distracted away from God, God says, now I'm hunting you. Look what he says next, verse 8. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. What is that? This is a mother bear who's been robbed of her cubs. Her whelps are her cubs, her babies. I've heard this. I remember we were in the mountains at Yellowstone. What's the name of those mountains that we were over there? Tetons. Thank you, whoever said that. The Teton Mountains, and we hiked, and there was a group of about 30 people looking at something, and I thought, well, there's lots of people here. There must be something to look at, and it was a bear. It was about 250 yards away, which is too close. There's no fence. It was a grizzly bear and with cubs, and I was glad there were 30 people there because I thought I could outrun most of these people, you know. That's all I got to be able to do. I don't need a gun or spray. I just need to be faster than you. A bear, a mother bear robbed of her cubs is violent. Violent. Full of rage. Full of anger. Fierce. If you can imagine the most fierce an animal can be. We're not talking about a lion hunting. We're talking about a mother bear who's been robbed of her cubs. This is what God says he will be. He will be fierce in his judgment. Look what he says next. He will rend, we're in verse 8, right in the middle, will rend the call of their heart and will devour them like a lion, a beast. A wild beast shall tear them. Now, watch, track with me on this. The call of the heart is literally the chest plate. What's that? We're talking about the bone that protects your heart. God said, like a bear, he would take your chest and tear you open and rip the chest plate apart, exposing the what? That's what God said. He said, I'm going to tear into you. I'm going to rip you open. And I'm going to expose your heart. These are violent words. These are fierce words. I'm not a hunter. I don't really want to be a hunter. I went to South Africa on a hunting trip as the picture guy. That's the job. You know, we're hunting these South African animals, which are incredible, and I get to take pictures of them. Like, that's the kind of hunting I want to do, you know? I mean, if I could shoot an animal, I mean, I would be okay with that. But it's everything after that I don't really want to do. You know, the whole gutting process. I mean, some of you guys are just, I don't know. You like that stuff? Okay. Here's what I think kind of did me in on that. When I was a teenager, we had a pig. Raise your hand if you ever had a pig. All right. You know what I'm talking about. So we had a pig, and that thing got out of the pen, and it got under our house. And so this huge pig is under our house, and we got to get it out. And I don't know what we're going to do with this. So we called the butcher, and he came over, and he had a winch on the back of his truck. And he crawled under our house, and he snared the back foot of that pig. And he winched that thing out from under the house, just dragged it out all the way from under the house, winched it all the way so it's hanging upside down. And then he gutted it right in our front yard. And I remember standing in, I'd never seen anything like this. I remember standing in my house, looking out the bay window, watching this whole process. We lived out in the country. It wasn't like in the city, okay. Watching this whole thing happen in the front yard. And, I mean, when he got the chainsaw out, I'm like, okay. I mean, this is for real. You know? Here's what God said. God said, there's something in you, and you think you're hiding it from everybody. There's an issue in your heart. There's something that you've allowed your heart to be given to. And you're acting like it's not there. You're acting like nobody knows. You're acting like maybe I don't know. But here's the reality of it. You forgot me. And you gave your heart to this. And I'm going to rip you open. And I'm going to expose it. So everybody can see. And so you can see. This is what God's saying. You know, I think we all forget things. I mean, I had said this in a sermon once. We have all, I think most of us have went into a room and then when we got in there, we forgot why we went in there. Yeah. How many of you did that in the last couple of days? All right. Okay. I actually have been forgetting things all day today. You know, maybe for this message. I was talking to somebody just earlier and I said, you know, I'm doing a sermon about being forgetful and ironically, I can't even remember. And it was tonight's message. How funny is that? And we forget things. We forget things on accident, I mean. How many of you forgot how old you were before? Okay. Teenagers do not do that. You know, I know that's true. Teens don't do that. It's when you get in your, you know, late 30s and then basically for the rest of your life. You're like, okay, how old am I? I don't know. I'm around this age. Last year, I think. Anyway, I don't know. So we forget things on accident. This forgetfulness here isn't an accident. This is a forgetfulness where we allowed something else to have our heart. And it is something that we have allowed ourselves to become attached to. And God says, I'm going to get involved in your life to a point where if this doesn't get exposed, then I'm going to expose it. This is the warning. God says this is the kind of judgment. Now, this is a violent, ferocious judgment that God speaks of to Israel. And I would read this, and wouldn't you, if you were Israel and God is giving this message to a nation, that you would just sober up right here? And you would think, man, I probably need to give thought to this. I mean, God is God, my deliverer, God, my savior, God, my king, God, the one who fed us for those years and the one who clothed us and took care of us and was good to us and his mercy was flowing into our life. By the way, don't do it out loud, but just kind of go like this. And that breath that you just breathed, God gave that to you. And the health that you have, God gave that to you. And the fact that you made it to church tonight, God gave that to you. The fact that you're not one of the ones sitting in ICU tonight, God gave that to you. And that those that have the abilities that they have or the talent that they have, the gifts that they have, God did all of that for you.
That's right.
And in life we start to forget that, but we do it on purpose because our heart begins to become attached to other things. Amen. Things that steal us away from God. Things that get our attention and begin to, you know, have our heart and have our affection, and have our love. By the way, have our devotion and our commitment. If Israel's getting to the point where they create a rite, and that rite is that they're lining up and they're kissing the calves, a literal action, where they are devoting themselves through this ritual to some god that wasn't God, and if Israel can do that, we can do that.
Right.
Why would we do that? Now, I'm not going to have you respond because I know the answer, and I think you know the answer. We're going to talk about it, but I want you to think about it. Why would we do this? Why would we forget God on purpose? Because it is purposeful. Let our affection be given to something else. And then continue to devote ourselves to it. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to give it up. We don't want to destroy it. We want it to linger. We like it. We want it. The reason why it has our heart is because we fell in love with it. We allowed it to have our affection. And God, all the time, the red flags, you know, they're going up, you know, the red flags. God's putting the red flags up. He says, this isn't right, you know. You need to avoid this. You need to let your heart be protected. You need to meditate on my word. You need to think about me. Don't think about this. Don't give your heart to this. Don't let it have your attention. Don't let this relationship become dominant in your life. Don't let this one that you're giving yourself to become a dominant reflection in your spirit. No. Don't let this thing that's in your thoughts and having your affection, don't let it be there. The warning flags are there, but yet we want it, we like it, and we, you know, we're attracted to it. And we think it will be okay. Why do we think it'll be okay? Because it's in us and nobody knows about it. Are you getting this? It's in us and nobody knows about it. So we think. So we convince ourselves and we forget God. But here's the warning. God's going to rip you open. It's the warning. And this is tough, isn't it? This is tough. Why is it tough? Because you know you have to give God back your heart, which means you have to let something go. But you love it. I don't want to let it go. I love it. But you got to let it go. It's a crossroad, isn't it? This is a tough place to be. And by the way, you think, well, I'm glad I've never been there before. Yeah, I doubt that. I doubt that. More than likely, we're all sitting there right now about something. And we've let it have our heart. And God says, Will you tonight, listen. Oh man, this is good. Jacket's coming off.
It's real.
Watch this. Here we go. God says, hey, I'll rip you open, but I don't have to. Mm. why don't we do this? Why don't you just open up your heart?
Amen.
Why don't you open it?
Right.
And I won't have to rip you open then. If you open your own heart and give it back to me, then we won't have to go through this violent action.
Right.
But you have to choose to do that. Now, this is a warning, and this is good. It's not pleasant, but it's good. We need it. Because it's going to happen.
That's right.
You think, well, if I wouldn't have came to church tonight, then this wouldn't have happened. No, it would have happened. You just wouldn't have known about it. Because it's going to happen. You know, it's amazing how in life we can maybe look back and think of those times we've given our mind to something and then we gave our heart to it and then God ripped it open and, oh man, it was painful, wasn't it? And now you have this the scars of that as like a trail in life, the bad memories of when you allowed your heart to be given to something and stolen away from God. And God says, maybe you're there now. You don't have to let it become a scar in your life. If tonight you'll just let me work in you, and instead of me ripping your heart open, why don't you just open up your heart?
Come on.
And just give it back to me. He's like, well, how do I do that? I want to do it. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. The thing that you've fallen in love with, the thing that you've allowed your heart to be attached to, you have to let it go. You're like, will it be worth it? Yes. I say that emotionally, though. It's true. But your heart will tell you. Your heart will try to tell you. It's okay. You don't have to really let it go. You can have God and be close to Him, and this has your heart. You can do both. God's trying to tell you you can't. So you have to make a hard choice. Open your heart. Just give it back to Him. Which means you have to let it go. Whatever it is that has your heart, whatever God's trying to reveal to you, has stolen your affection away from God. I think in life there are times when there are things that we can love, and God helps us to do it appropriately. Don't check out. Let me say that again. I really believe this, that in life there are things that God allows us to experience and love when our love is appropriate. When it becomes inappropriate, it steals the affection of your heart, and your mind isn't where it needs to be. God says you need to give your heart back to me. And that might be where we are tonight. We were at the zoo yesterday, and we walked through the snakes and the spiders section. I hate that area. I mean, really. Whew. And there was a big tarantula, like a big one. And most tarantulas are big, but this one was humongous. And it was creepy. Ethan walked up behind me and started doing his fingers all over me. I'm like, do not touch me. I had to get out of there. And while I was in there, I was thinking this thought. I was thinking, you know, what if none of this glass was here? Why would you, first of all, I think that was from the devil. Why would you have that thought whenever you're in there? But anyway, I had that thought. And I thought, man, this would be the worst. I was thinking that this would be the worst. But then I had the next thought later on when we were at the lion den. And the lion, most of the time, they're just laying down, totally dead out, with their back facing you, not interested. But this lion was perched up on a rock, and he was looking around intently, peering through the glass. And while we were making eye contact, I'm talking about this lion and I, then it dawned on me, nope, this would be worse. I'll take the snakes and the spiders over this. Open your own heart, because you don't want God to tear you. And He said He will. Let's let God work in us tonight.